The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford, where they have a huge buyback sale going on through Sunday. Receive up to $4,000 over Kelley Blue Book value for your trade. Get to BillCurryFord.com and start shopping. BillCurryFord.com. All right, Ira, you're in your house. You see some water. You smell some mold. What do you do?
What do I do? I call Florida's Elite Restoration pronto. I don't waste any time. Florida's Elite Restoration. Look, there are certain things that go wrong in every house. Mold stands alone in many ways. And if you dilly-dally and waste time about addressing it, you've probably got a major problem on your hands. Alternatively, if you call Florida's Elite Restoration quickly, as you should, then a potential major problem gets handled in a prompt manner, an economical manner, and a quick manner.
And Sage, they will come to you free. They'll talk to you free. It's all free to figure out what's going on. FloridasElitereStoration.com is the website. FloridasElitereStoration.com. You can get information there, get all your contact numbers, reach out to them online. Great local company. As you said, Ira, they'll help you with any disaster possible.
Call Florida's Elite Restoration pronto. You know, I was getting my half a pound of Swiss cheese, which lasts me about 3 hours. He's slow and nobody can cover him. How do you like that? He knows how to get open. There ain't no porridge. There ain't no farina. That's my sermon for tonight. Now I'm down to a half bagel in the morning. In the words of John Tortorella, shut your yap. That's my thing, Steve. Pot shots. And this one's personal. Get out of the business. But he was a clown before this. He was a clown. He left in disgrace. Always a factor. Sometimes I have eggs and bacon.
August is approaching and the Ira Kaufman Podcast marches on. Episode 2 of this week presented by Bill Curry Ford. As always, I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee DeKemper of Joe Bucks Fan is here. And the man of the hour, he is the king of Pasco County, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, Uncle Ira, the great sage, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Mr. Ira Kaufman. Ira, how are you today?
I'll have you know I aced it. I aced my stress test. I lasted 45 seconds more than the summer of 2019. Very proud of that. We're not going to discuss my weight, gentlemen. It's a non-factor. Let's move on. Nothing to see here. But as far as the electrodes and the stress test, and yes, she did crank it up, the nurse practitioner. I was more than a match for that treadmill, gentlemen. When it was really going and it was tough to keep up, all I kept thinking about was Mike Evans catching bombs from Tom Brady. The beautiful thought to keep me going gave me a little adrenaline boost. And I'm good, gentlemen. Never got lightheaded, no lightheaded, nothing. Didn't have my coffee in the morning. Lee, no bagel, nothing. And I made it through. I know Isbeth is going to ask me if I hit Burger King on the way home. The answer is no. My wife packed me a lunch, and I gobbled it down with a little Dunkin' Donuts coffee, Lee. You appreciate that.
From what I understand, that procedure is old hat. My cardiologist told me that they do shots now.
Well, a lot of people don't like those shots, Lee. We like shots at the brewery, you know, but mine is called the nuclear stress test. That involves the treadmill. The one you're talking about is a chemical stress test. No treadmill. They hook you up, and then they inject some kind of a solution, and yep, it gets your heart rate doubled in about 5 seconds. Boom.
And yeah, I've had one of those, and it was like I was scared. And, you know, the way they talked about it, they gave me a shot, and after about 3 or 4 minutes, I'm like, is this all you got?
Steve, I don't think it's going to affect me because I was in Washington when the Bucks blew that fourth quarter lead. If I can handle that, I can handle a little chemical stress test, Steve.
All right, you'll be fine. Hey. And for everyone listening, coming up next, we have Medicare news updates from Joe Thompson.
By the way, I was at that game too. I was in the press box as well.
Lee, were you with me downstairs? Because that's the game that that the quarterback came in and said, "How do you like that?" That's the game.
I mean, I was downstairs, but I didn't hear Cousins. I didn't hear Cousins. I was
there when he did it, and I heard him. Oh, I heard him say it. Yeah.
Oh wow. Yeah.
How do you like that?
by the time I got to the press box, got him on my laptop, it was all over, you know, Twitter. Speaking of Washington, Ira, allegedly the new name of your Washington Redskins will be the Washington Sentinels.
The Washington Sentinels. The last time I heard anything about a Sentinel was in 2001, A Space Odyssey. It was all about Sentinels.
The last time I heard of the Sentinels was that Keanu Reeves movie when he was a quarterback. I believe that was her name. But actually, it's a pretty cool name because Sentinel is actually what they call the guys who guard the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier.
Well, don't mention Keanu Reeves. I've said it on this show. I'm on record. He can't act. His bits. Man can't act.
I still don't understand why they just didn't go with Pigskins. Then you still got the Skins nickname. It's football. Yeah. And it ties into the Hogs. It was such a natural, and they blew it.
Beautiful. Hey, by the way, Steve, before you get me totally immersed in Buck Fever, and you guys have heard me say this before. I'm not making it up, but you've heard me on the Mad Dog when he starts talking about different teams and the Dolphins and the Jets and the Redskins. And, Lee, I always make this point. When a team's bad for a long time, you got to look at the owner. You got to look at the owner. And I've been killing, Richardson from the Panthers when he was around. Woody Johnson is one of my favorite whipping boys when he was in charge of the Jets. Steven Ross I slap around repeatedly. Gentlemen, guess who's in the news again? Woody Johnson. I mean, these buffoons, they can't stay out of the headlines. Now I guess he's the ambassador to, Ireland?
Or, UK, isn't it?
Yeah, it may be the UK, and he's embroiled in some kind of controversy.
Which is alleged. We don't know.
It is. But he was a clown before this. He was a clown.
You're talking about franchises that don't win. We don't have to look too hard.
I know.
Even though Richardson was a lout, he wasn't a bad owner. I mean, didn't they go to the Super Bowl two different times? Yeah, they did.
Sure.
I can't remember his name. Your buddy, the coach. And then with Rivera.
John Fox. Yeah.
That's one of the last expansion teams. And they had two different Super Bowl teams. So.
But he left in disgrace, Lee. He left in disgrace.
Well,
he did.
Yeah. They won. I'm sure just about every Carolina fan, you say, hey, your owner's a jackass, but he wins. What are you going to say? Oh, I'll take the jackass.
Yeah. That's my shot at Woody Johnson. If you're listening, Woody, get out of the business, resign, retire, and go move down to Palm Beach and enjoy yourself.
Now, Ira, a little bit later, we'll be touching on in this podcast gambling-related kind of stuff, just a little bit, when we talk about win totals. And before we get into over-unders, I wanted to get two over-unders out of the way that you mentioned. Regarding that weight that you mentioned at the doctor, what's the over-under on how much you gained from last year? What's the over-under here? What are we talking about?
The over-under is 3.
So you're up 3 pounds.
Oh, well, no. That's the betting line. You want over or you want under on that, Lee? Over or under 3? My weight difference from 2019 to 2020.
3 pounds?
You think I gained more than 3 pounds or less than 3 pounds?
More.
What do you say, Isbitz?
I'm taking the over.
Cash in your tickets, gentlemen. Cash them in.
And you mentioned no bagel. What's the over-under on how many bagels you eat per week, Ira?
The over-under is...
5.5?
4. That's the betting line.
What do you say, Steve? I'm taking the over.
You're taking the over on that? Lee, what do you say?
Under. I think you had 3. 3 a week.
I got to say the under's going to win this one, Steve, because now I'm down to a half bagel in the morning. A half
bagel.
So
the other half? Give the Cosmo.
3.5. 3.5 a week. I got it.
And wait a minute. Not every day. Sometimes I have eggs and bacon. Depends what the day is. There ain't no porridge. There ain't no farina. Forget about that stuff. A banana hasn't shown up in my kitchen in about a year and a half.
Ira, I have to let all our listeners under 50, if they don't know what farina is, they can just Google that, and you're all set. All right, Ira, listen. Buccaneers, they're about to start training camp, and Lee and I have always been of the belief that when the draft picks are signed, which they all just got locked up, that's not news. It's only news these days in this era when they don't sign, and that really right. doesn't ever happen. So they're all signed. Tristan Wirfs got his guaranteed $16 million over the next 14, excuse me, over the next 4 years, however that breaks up, and the draft picks are in. But we told our beloved listeners, Ira, that we would give some pre-camp, since it's such a new, unique year, we're going to give some pre-camp predictions on this season. We'll talk about why, but we reserve the right, after we get a look at the team and we see how things shake out and get the vibe as we do, we'll make our final predictions on the season in September. So, Sage, right now, across America, 9.5 or 10 is the over-under on the Bucks in various sports books. 9.5 or 10 is what you're going to find out there. And what's your win total, Ira? And you got to give us a good why while you're making that pick.
I'm going to take the over, especially on the 9.5. If you can squeeze me into a 9.5 slot, Steve, I'm taking the over. The gods say the Bucks must end this playoff drought. Has to happen. Brady's impact cannot be overstated. Cannot. If he's hurt, season over, pack it up, get a good draft pick. But he doesn't get injured very often. He's had one major injury in 20 years. No reason he should have one this fall. His competitiveness, his drive, his professionalism will filter down to every player in that room. Now, look, injuries can wreck anybody's season. We all understand that. I do have concerns about Buck depth. But I'm going with the over, gentlemen, because this team scored a lot of points last year with 41 giveaways. And I think this year you're going to see something like 20 giveaways. And that's an extra 20 possessions over the season. And I think with a young, improving defense, that's going to be enough for this team to give the Saints a battle. I still think the Bucks will have to settle, Lee, for a wild card. But I think they make the playoffs with 11 wins.
All right,
11 wins. Wow.
11 wins. Wow. All right, Ira. And the only follow-up we're going to do today is give me one player who takes a major step up and one guy who takes a significant step back and why.
I think the significant step up is going to be Cameron Brate, who people have soured on, let's be honest. They don't like his lack of production last year. He got hurt last year. I believe he's healthy, and I believe his reliability, and I think a decision by the franchise as a whole to try to keep Gronkowski healthy and not overuse him during the regular season will lead to Brate becoming a go-to guy for Tom Brady. He never drops a ball, and when he dropped one last year, and it was a big one, all of us in the press box said, was that Brate? Did he really drop that pass that was in his hands? So Brady likes guys that are reliable. The Edelmans of the world. If you're not reliable, he's got no use for you. And he's going to have a lot of use for Cameron Brate.
The step back. Who takes a significant step back?
The step back is going to be Whitehead, the safety. Whitehead, the safety. I like his hitting. I don't like his coverage. I believe he's got one NFL pick in 29 games. I want more hands on the ball. From a safety in my defense. You've got the chance that the injured safety's coming back. He could impact Whitehead's time. You got Winfield as a high draft pick. He could have an impact. I'm not sold on Whitehead as a top-flight starter, gentlemen. He might get exposed this year. I think his playing time is in danger of being whittled down. Those are my two, Steve.
So Whitehead's not... part of his demise is not going to be his distraction with his cheerleader girlfriend?
No, it's his lack of coverage skills, Lee. That's the killer.
The Sage has spoken, and Lee and I will weigh in. We've got plenty more to talk about, Ira. But I want to remind everybody that Bill Curry Ford presents the podcast. And Bill Curry Ford, yes, you get the credible personal service from the Curry family, specifically General Manager Sean Sullivan, who is there and ready for Bucks fans to help him in any possible way, online, by phone, in person. The dealership's a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. The website is BillCurryFord.com. And through this weekend, Ira, receive up to $4,000 over Kelley Blue Book value for your trade. $4,000. It runs through Sunday. It's the huge buyback sale at Bill Curry Ford. Now is the time. Still have the 0% financing for 72 months. You still have the $1,000 off leases and new vehicles. Incredible opportunity this weekend at Bill Curry Ford.
They want your business, and they're proving that they'll do anything to get you in that showroom and get you in a great vehicle. I don't know what more Sean Sullivan can do.
And I'm actually going to go out on a limb here for Sean Sullivan and say that if you buy a vehicle on Saturday, Sean is going to buy you a Reuben at the Big Storm Cafe, Kaufman's favorite sandwich, right in the shop. And I will, after this podcast, I'm going to text Sean and let him know.
And if you're not partial to Reubens, they got a great Cuban. And Lee's been telling me about it, and I tried it a month ago, and it's fantastic.
All right, Sage. Now, listen, let's turn it over to Lee DeCamper.
All right. Season win total? I'll just say this. My short-term investment broker before the end of the evening is going to get $100. And the short-term investment broker has access to legal gambling, and he's going to place $100 on the Bucks under. I think the Bucks are going to be a wild card team. I don't see them getting 10 wins. I do think it's going to be a factor. New quarterback, new offense, virtually no offseason. If you count preseason and training camp, there's virtually none. Training camp's going to be soft as a roll of Charmin. I think that is a factor. I think the Bucks will be good. I think the Bucks will have a winning record. I think the Bucks will make a wild card. I don't see them with 10 wins. I really don't. Saints are too tough, and it's a tough division. Atlanta's no slouch. A lot of primetime games. We know the Bucks have been awful at that. So the over-under on wins, I'm taking the under, and I'm putting my money where their mouth is. It'd be great if I lose my bet and the Bucks win the division. That'd be awesome, and I do mean that. I'm more than happy to throw $100 away because I'll make more than that down the road with higher traffic coming to our site because they have a playoff game.
That's right.
So I'll be more than happy to eat my Benjamin. No problem. The player that will be better, I'm going to say, is O.J. Howard. I think Brady's going to get to Aaron. He's like, what the hell do you have this guy trying to block for? He needs to go out and catch passes from me. He doesn't need to sit back and block. Swallow your pride and get a fullback if you need a blocker. This guy's not a blocker. He's going to go out and catch passes from me. They're going to have a lot of two tight end sets. But for him to get that fifth-year option, number one, he needs a good season. Number two, that means $6 million in his pocket if the Bucks execute that fifth-year option. Yeah, they pick it up. And so he's got a lot of incentive. I think he'll have the big step up. I really do. The big step back, just law of averages, I'm going to say Brady. And I'm not going to say he's going to be lousy. I'm just saying he's not going to be a Pro Bowl quarterback because he's going to be 43. If you look at the history of 43-year-old quarterbacks in the NFL, it's brutal. I don't care what his name is. I don't care how many pieces of jewelry he's got in his box sitting on his dresser. He's 43. Now, I don't think he's going to turn into Josh McCown. No, he's not going to turn into Josh McCown. I think Brady's going to be good. He's going to be efficient. I do think he's going to get them to at least a wild card, but I don't think he's going to be – he's not going to have Pro Bowl numbers. So if I have to pick, it would be Brady would be having the drop-off. And by the way, yes, again, another new offense, new coach, new teammates. So I think Brady's going to have the drop-off. But he won't be bad. He'll just have the drop-off. I thought about Lavonte David for the very same reason. He's getting old. I love Lavonte David. No one's defended Lavonte David more than I have, and he's gotten hosed over the years at Pro Bowls. I'm not anti-Lavonte David at all. It really sticks in my mind last year when Arians held him out of practices in the Glazier shed, and Arians said the turf was bad on his knees. That really got my attention. That really sunk in on my brain. That, you know what, Lavonte David's getting old. But I'm going to stick with Brady. Brady will have a drop-off. Doesn't mean he'll be bad, but he'll have a drop-off.
Not bad, but Howard, I'm not going with Howard, guys. First of all, I'm not sure he's going to be on this team in September. I'm still not sure.
You might trade him?
I think the reason he's still here is they're not getting what they consider value for him. I mean, come on, guys. I mean, three viable tight ends on a team, it's a luxury. You got running backs out there and cornerbacks that might be available at reasonable prices, and they got some cash issues. I think O.J. Howard can be had. Bruce Arians was not around when he was drafted. Always a factor. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady doesn't know anything about the guy. So we shall see. I'm going with Brayton. We got a tight end battle head-to-head, Steve. I got Brayton. He's got Howard. You might as well take Gronkowski, Steven.
What do you think about Lee's 9 wins, Ira?
I got no problem with Lee's 9 wins. I mean, a lot of things can go wrong with this team, starting with the heady expectations. They haven't shown that they can handle these things. I think Brady helps in that regard, but I'm still the guy that thought they were going to win 10 games in 2017. I should learn my lesson from that, gentlemen. the big finish in 2016, vying for a playoff spot, finishing with a winning record. I was fooled, guys. Next thing I knew, Chris Baker was in town. And a winning record was out the door, baby.
And just to clarify a little bit, O.J. Howard's fifth-year option was picked up back in May before the deadline for that. However, he only gets the money if he makes the roster next year. So picking up an option doesn't even mean much anymore because you have to be on the roster, just like Hargrave's option. And he's sort of more tradable with the option, if you look at it, because at least the team knows he's not going to jump ship.
Now, Steve, I got 11 and Lee's got 9. That leaves you with a very, very nice 10 spot in the right pocket. You're going to take it?
Well, what I'm going to take is a swig of my Big Storm beer, Ira. Sitting right in front of me is an ice-cold Bramosa, the tangerine IPA from Big Storm Beer. And their classics are just things you have to try. BigStormBrewery.com. There's a storm tracker there where you can find the beer near you. At your local liquor store or wherever you buy beer, wherever you buy good beer, because they are Florida's best craft beer. There's so many great core beers, Wavemaker Amber Ale, the Tropic Pressure Florida Ale, and there are so many other specialty beers. And, of course, the great tap rooms are available with their great menus in Clearwater. Big Storm Brewery, the flagship location, indoor and outdoor seating on 49th Street just south of Almerton. And, of course, Big Storm Brewery, the tap room where we've spent some time. Ira, right there in Newport Richey by the Sage's House on Success Drive. So BigStormBrewery.com, that's where you want to go. Follow them on Facebook. They got a lot of great specials. They update there all the time. And Twitter, you can find them as well. Big Storm Brewery, home of the Sage in Clearwater all season long, watching road games with Bucks fans at what's going to be their giant 3,500 square feet, covered outdoor area. Can't wait, Ira. All right, here are my picks, Sage. And I don't know what to do first, but I'm going to shift gears, and I'll go with the players first. A significant step-up guy is going to be Devin White. I've been impressed with his work ethic from the stuff you can tell off-season, the time the guy puts in, whenever he's talked about how he's working out. And I really have just always been impressed with his eagerness to sit down with ex-Bucks and talk to Derek Brooks and other guys, and I just think he's got as good a chance as any of being in great shape because he looks in great shape and seems to put in the work and staying healthy. I think he'll make that jump. I don't know if he'll get much better in coverage, but I think he might be a lot more dynamic in the run game, making that even stronger, and I think just have a feeling he might make some more plays, so I'm going to go with him. He certainly has the talent to step up. And to take a step back, Ira, I'm going with Cameron Brait. Sorry, man.
You're unbelievable, Elizabeth.
I'm going with Cameron Brait. And for one simple reason, Ira, there's only one freak in football. We just got Rob Gronkowski. I don't even know if Brait's going to see the freaking field, Ira. I don't believe all this nonsense that Bruce Arians is going to run a bunch of three tight end sets. I think that's all a bunch of hogwash. And I do think one of the other receivers is likely to catch Brady's eye. And Brait is slow. He's 29 years old. He's got nice hands, but he's been banged up for 2 years. We all like the guy. I think we're all rooting for him, but I don't think he's gonna fade away, Ira. I really do.
Yeah, he's slow. He's slow, and nobody can cover him. How do you like that? He knows how to get open, Steve. You got to admit that.
If nobody
he knows about the hole, he knows the holes in the defense, and he's smart, and he rarely drops a ball. I think he's gonna grow. And Brady will look at him very fondly, very fondly.
Well, if he's that good, Ira, then are you saying he was completely misused the last year?
He was hurt. Look, you want Winston throwing an 11-yard bullet, or you want Brady throwing it, or you want Winston throwing it? I want Brady throwing it.
I got a new
watch out for Cameron Brake, gentlemen.
I got a new saying for you, Ira. Maybe I'll make T-shirts. No risk it, no Brate. There you go, right there. All right.
Now you've got to give us the team assessment, sir.
I have sleepless nights about this, Ira. I toss, I turn, think about it in the shower. I think about it when I get to the bagel store and there are none left because you bought them all. And what happens is, Ira, I come back to Brady. And if this was a normal offseason, I would have thought, you know, Brady's going to really turn this team around. There's got a lot of loser mentality there. And he's going to get in there in April and he's going to work with these guys and he's going to be such a force and change the culture and all that sort of stuff. And I would have picked them probably 10 or 11 wins if Brady had a full off season. But in this wacky nonsense of this coronavirus stuff, I'm not sure the Bucks have the mentality to be strong out of the gate. And I'm not sure Brady is going to have enough time to really do what I thought Brady would have done before this. So I'm going to right now, I got to go with 9 wins. I don't think Brady can turn the whole thing around like he has to right away. And I don't have enough faith in the secondary to think that something's going to emerge there to really, you know, take over and take a huge step. And it's going to be very difficult for the pass rush to be as good as it was last year because it was awfully good. And Shaq Barrett's just not going to be a 20-sack guy. I hope he is, but I don't think so. So I got to go with 9 wins, Ira.
So they're in the fight for a wild card, in your opinion.
Sure. I don't know how the other teams are going to fare or what's going to happen, but I think 9 wins, which very good chance it'll get it done, although the NFC is super strong.
Will there be fans in the stands, gentlemen? Will there?
Lee?
It's Florida, yeah. You'll have luxury boxes and, 20% capacity, 25, all with their Antifa masks.
And,
Except for the good Dr. Wink. He'll bring his surgical mask with him.
I guess the Falcons, Steve, just announced they're expecting 15 to 20 for home games. You know, Georgia's not in great shape in terms of COVID-19.
Who is? South Dakota, Montana, Mandy.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe we can play a game. Maybe we can play a game in Yellowstone. Why not?
Helena, or was it Bozeman? I'm sorry, Bozeman.
Yeah, Bozeman. Hey, by the way, Steve, before we continue, I want to take another pot shot. You know, that's my thing, Steve. Pot shots. and this one's personal. I got a memo to Chris Jones, defensive tackle of the Chiefs that just got taken care of with a big contract extension. In the words of John Tortorella, shut your yap, Jones. Shut your yap. Do I have to read stories already saying we're going to put 5 rings on our fingers? We're going to get at least 5 Super Bowls. What's wrong with these people? I mean, one at a time, gentlemen. One at a time. I don't like hearing that stuff. I don't remember hearing it from the Pittsburgh Steelers in 1978 or 1974 when they were starting their dynasty. These people have to calm down, gentlemen. And I don't want to hear any kind of talk like that. I want your nose to the grindstone, gentlemen. Get 2, then you can talk about 5. That's my sermon for tonight, Steve.
All right, Sage. You know, we know how you feel about your Chiefs, but this is beyond the Chiefs. This is about reality.
It is.
And he's not the first to bring it up, though. I mean, all these national talking heads have been talking about Mahomes getting ready to challenge Brady for 6 rings. It's like, just win your 2nd. How about that?
Yeah, you know, but you know who doesn't talk about it like that? Mahomes. His maturity, Lee, his maturity level's off the charts.
That come from his dad?
I think so. Good
his dad,
stock.
You know, was a professional athlete himself. So.
You know, Andy Reid, I guess he paid his penance, and he deserves a guy like Mahomes, but he's got him. And because Mahomes is there, guys, Reid has no intentions of retiring. If Mahomes didn't come along, Reid could have bowed out already. I mean, I really think there was a chance of that.
You asked about fans in the stands, and I think it's just it's going to be a month-by-month basis. The Buccaneers don't have to make some grand announcement. They don't play a game for another 7 weeks, and they're going to plan to have fans there, but I think really they'll end up going game by game because we don't know how well this will turn out or won't go well. And you know, like we've said before, they're going to cling to that luxury box money, And if that's a few thousand people in the luxury boxes and they can let 7,000 roam downstairs, plenty of room, plenty of cash for Team Glazer. But the new rule, Ira, the new rule the NFL dropped is masks mandatory at every NFL game for fans. And I want you, I need your wisdom, Ira. Maybe Lee can answer this too. What's going to happen? Because obviously you're going to be allowed to drink beer and eat food, right? They're not going to give away that money. What happens to the guy who's standing online sipping his beer? Okay, he's waiting on a gigantic 400-foot line to go to the bathroom because everybody's got a social distance. He's waiting online. He's sipping his beer, screaming at the top of his lungs, "Go Bucks!" And there's spit flying out of his mouth. How is anybody going to be protected from this guy?
You know, Steve, it's a hell of a point. I mean, the enforcement, it's so much up in the air. I'll give you an example. Guys, I was in Publix last week. You know, I was getting my half a pound of Swiss cheese, which lasts me about 3 hours. And so I was, and then all of a sudden, the woman behind the counter, she spots some guy. He doesn't have a mask on. You know, big guy, strapping, 6'3". And she goes, "Hey, how about putting a mask on?" The guy shakes his head, "Not doing it." And he went about his business. You know, he kept walking with his cart. Last time I saw him, he was going down aisle 7 where the spaghetti sauce was. He was last seen. But my point is, how do you enforce these things, Lee? I mean, these places now, there is security, but are you going to toss somebody out? Lee, the guy's eating a hot dog. He doesn't have a mask on when he's eating it. The guy's drinking his beer. He doesn't have a mask on. Or his girlfriend, she's got no mask on when she's drinking a beer. The rules are very hazy, Lee. Very, very hazy.
The only chicks I could pull to go to a game with me, you want the mask on, that woman.
Outstanding, Kemper. Outstanding. And I'll vouch for that, too. I've seen you in action.
I wasn't ready for that one.
You can't top that one.
I was not ready. I got to put my big storm beer down for that one. I have some ideas, Ira. Do you think, you know how when you're at the game and they put up twice a game, maybe they put up that kiss cam where they catch couples and they have to kiss?
Yes.
Well, instead of kiss cam, you could have mask cam, right? And so
you've got the best mask.
The camera pans around. And if you're not wearing a mask and you're sitting in
everybody
your seat,
boos.
Everybody boos. And then a guy, you know, a SWAT team of yellow shirts come over and they drag you out.
And then you learn that it was Arian's son out there and then they let him back in. So mask cam, very inventive, Stevie.
I mean,
very inventive.
When all those Packers fans are there, are you allowed to, like, pull the mask off somebody and then call the police so they get kicked out? I don't know. The whole thing is comical, Ira.
Hey, Steve, did you check on that thing I told you before the podcast about that today could be a special day? Did you check on that?
I did, Ira. So we're recording this the night of July 22nd. And this, Ira, is your four-year anniversary at joebucksfan.com. Lee, it's unbelievable. Ira's about to enter his fifth year. He's made hundreds of thousands of dollars from us in this time. And that's even more unbelievable. And Lee, do you have a favorite Ira story from his 4 years?
Oh my gosh!
Where are you gonna start, Lee? It's probably when you were talking to somebody at a combine or something, and the guy goes, "Ira, oh, I know Ira, oh, I know who he is."
Yeah, actually, yeah, and you know, being in my math, you know, when it comes to math, to this very day, I just have a almost uncontrollable urge to punch a nun, and I was talking to Mark Caboli. He's with The Athletic now. At the time, he was a longtime Steelers writer for Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I think it was at a Super Bowl. I was talking to him, and I said something like, "Yeah, we came up with enough advertisers. We're paying Ira seven figures." I meant to say five, but I said seven. And he does a double take and looks at me, "Seven figures?" And I'm going, because Ira's getting paid 7 cents.
Oh, that's
he freaked
flash
out when I said that. And,
hey,
Steve. And FYI, Mark Caboli, the guy's a monster. He's huge.
Man.
He must be four bills, right, Ira? Seriously.
Oh, yeah. Now, Steve, the first thing I thought of when you said 4 years, I thought of, you know, this is just the way, you know, we're wired. But the first thing I thought of was 600 buck columns?
600? Oh, my goodness. And you're probably saying, yeah, and I had to read every one of them and check for you know, statistics and make sure things were right. 600 columns, gentlemen. 400 podcasts, boys. 400 wow. Podcasts. Not too shabby.
Here's what I was going to add about the masks real quick. It sounds like it's going to be similar to Vegas. Now, Vegas was open for a couple weeks, maybe a month, and the virus started getting out of hand again there, so they made masks in the casinos mandatory, except if you're eating or drinking. And the guy who told me this, he works out there. I said, so there's no mask requirement. He goes, no, there's a mask requirement. If you're inside, unless you're eating or drinking, I'm like, think about it. You're in Vegas. When you're inside, what are you doing? Eating or drinking?
Lee, I just saw a picture. I think it might have been the Mirage, and the place was absolutely, the casino, absolutely empty. Absolutely empty.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think it was the Mirage.
So many great stories. I wouldn't even know where to start. I should probably come up with a top 10 list and publish it as something in written form on Joe Bucks Fan. But a couple of things that really stood out, aside from the world-famous Irv story when...
that would be number one.
When Arthur Blank looked at you, I was standing right next to you, and he said, he looks like an Irv. Now, that was just a classic. But the other classic was the one that comes quickly to mind is we were, I think it was also at the owners' meetings, and we're in a hallway somewhere, and walking by comes Tom Coughlin. And you say, hey, Tom, and he says, hey, Ira, and he keeps going. You grabbed his arm. Now, Tom Coughlin doesn't like the media, doesn't engage with the media. You grabbed his arm. He was with his wife. Next thing you know, you guys are talking face-to-face, and I have a picture of this. And his wife's like, come on, we got to go. And it was just stunning. You grabbed Tom Coughlin's arm.
You know, one of the things that jumps out at me over the 4 years is looking at the post on Joe Bucks Fan and the pictures, and you guys are ingenious in this regard. And I would say it's the only regard that you guys are ingenious about, but take the credit when you get it. Like today, you had a picture of me. I think you did a story about Ronald Jones, and you had a picture. I think I was next to Ronald. I don't even remember that. Isbitz, where do you come up with this stuff? It's amazing.
Well, Ira, you were the star of the show, right? So we had our photographer take pictures of you at practice talking to Ronald Jones. So that's
I don't remember. I don't remember talking to Ronald Jones. I remember when he ran past me and dropped the ball, but I don't remember talking to him.
Well, there you go. The proof is in the picture. Now, speaking of Ronald Jones, Ira, he did a fantasy football podcast. The host of the podcast is obviously a close friend of Ronald Jones's trainer out in Arizona. So it seems like, hey, did this guy a favor? Not exactly a popular fantasy podcast or anything like that. But he had a lot to say, and we're going to share it through the week on Joe Bucks Fan. But one thing was interesting. A couple of nuggets here. I want to see what you think of this. They asked him, hey, is Brady all serious in these workouts, or is he just one of the guys? And Jones says, I think he's the perfect mix. He's a coach on the field, but he's still got that 20-year-old in him that, you know, he's excited just like us. I thought that was very telling, Ira, for the way Jones said it, especially that, you know, Brady's got a very kid-like vibe. You know, that kind of energy can really only help, I would think, especially when it comes with the credibility of Tom Brady.
No question. And you know what that line from Ronald Jones does? It reinforces our idea and backs up Brady's own sentiment that, hey, I'm having fun again. You know, guys, think about that. Tom Brady said in the last year or two, you know, that he wasn't having fun. He was winning Super Bowls, Lee. He was winning Super Bowls. Something happened. Something happened in Foxborough. Beaten down, feeling underappreciated. And he comes to Tampa and says, football's fun again for me. And I think he's exhibiting it consistently since he's gotten to town. Holding these workouts, organizing the workouts. He's been a little more accessible. He would never do a three-hour Howard Stern, Lee, as a member of Belichick's guys. That's not going to happen. I think it's all very refreshing for Brady. And Ronald Jones, who doesn't know Tom Brady, has been knocked out by it. So on that score, I don't think any of us have any questions about Brady's enthusiasm. He's all in. Brady's all in. It may not work, Lee. It may not work. He's going to be 43 in a couple of weeks. And, Lee, you always talk about Father Time, right, Lee? Always.
Undefeated.
But if anybody can buck the odds, it's this guy.
I'll go ahead and say this, but you'll find out it's not exactly stepping on a ledge. It would not be shocked if Brady sets the record for most touchdown passes thrown by a 43-year-old. The bar is very low, so that wouldn't surprise me. But I never lose sight of the fact that he's 43. Roto-World did a list of they ranked their general managers, and I will just say that Jason Light was raked over the coals. In that critique of Light, this guy wrote, Light is counting on Tom Brady to do something that's never been done before, which is basically a 43-year-old quarterback getting a team to the playoffs.
That's why we call it the Tom Brady experiment, Steve, because it's uncharted waters. And really, Steve, did the Bucs have much of a choice? 12 years without a playoff, 30 picks by Winston.
Sure they did.
You don't want to, in their mind, they wanted to move on. And, hey, Arians is the guy that mentioned Brady. It wasn't Jason Light. Got to remember that, Steve.
Oh, sure. I mean, it's fun. I'm not worried about Brady personally this year. Next year is when I'd really be worried. But this year, I think it'll be fine. But look, this is fun. They're going all in. Hopefully they go further all in, Ira, which is why I wanted to ask you, is there any significance to Devonta Freeman blowing out his agent and jumping ship to Drew Rosenhaus? And then Rosenhaus coming out saying we want to get him with a team in July. We're excited to make that happen. I know Jason Light has a good relationship with Rosenhaus. Certainly spent a lot of time with him talking about Shaq Barrett. And there have been many other players with the Bucs that have had Rosenhaus. So any significance to that?
I think quite a bit of significance. Not that doesn't necessarily mean the Bucs are going to sign Devonta Freeman. But I think it's a big step forward for Devonta Freeman landing with a team in the next month. I do, because, Lee, no matter what you think about Rosenhaus, some people think he's oily, some people don't trust him. I think he's pretty realistic, Lee. He's not Scott Boras. Every Scott Boras client, is the second coming of Joe DiMaggio. And I don't think Rosenhaus is like that. And I think... He's going to be realistic about Freeman, and I think he's going to convey to Freeman and convince Freeman that, look, sign for 1 year. If you have a big year, you'll get a lot of money the following year, but you got to show what you got. You've had a couple of down seasons, and I think it's a smart move for Freeman. I think he has been unrealistic. Apparently, he has turned down what I think was a solid offer from Seattle. These players, they don't have a good view of themselves, Lee. They're too close to the situation. They need somebody else with some objectivity. And I think Rosenhaus is going to supply that. And I would be surprised if Freeman is not on a roster going into the season. Whereas if he had stuck with his original agent, I think he would have been in purgatory because he overvalued himself.
Yeah, I'm sure he overvalued himself, and it was kind of odd that, not even a month ago, maybe a month ago, he was literally, not trolling, he was literally twittering the Bucks, hey, call me.
Yes.
I mean, you don't usually see that. Either he was getting desperate or he was getting fed up with his agent, one of the two, and, a couple weeks later he got rid of his agent. Basically, this guy's going to have a job. Sooner or later, he's going to get a job. You know why? There's going to be a running back or more that's going to come down with the virus. Just a matter of time. And a lot of guys that look like they're on the fringe of working, delivering refrigerators for Best Buy, they'll be in the NFL because guys are going to get sick.
I think Tampa, I still think, guys, Tampa is a very smart spot for Devonta Freeman. If the price is right, I could see it happening. I think there's a need, guys. How many times can you guys tell me that guys are making up a list of the running backs and the Bucks first running backs listed as the 32nd guy on the list.
In some cases, that's the high end.
There's injuries. There's COVID to worry about. This is not a stacked backfield. And Freeman's an accomplished receiver, Steve. And that's a skill that, you know, Brady craves at that position. But, you know, things have to be right. And I think Arians has already indicated, if they can agree on financials, Arians is interested. Is that a stretch for me to say that?
Well, he strongly implied it, but I think Lee's got the core of this here. Forgetting about the Bucs for a minute, a lot of this is going to come down to the virus and how things play out, because running back is a position that you cannot afford to be completely bare on. You know, not that any position you really can, but it's going to mess up your whole offense if you have really nothing at running back, a guy who can't come out of the backfield, who can't right. pass block, who doesn't get it. So, you know, the NFL announced that there's going to be 80 guys at training camp instead of 90. And you know what? One of those guys is probably an undrafted running back who you would hope can play on special teams, that you would teach the playbook and stash him away somewhere later on the practice squad or something. But while the practice squad's probably going to be bigger, you know, a guy like Freeman is going to probably end up having a job somewhere because he's going to get one of those calls that says, hey, come on in. You'll be starting on Sunday.
Patience will be a virtue in his case. No question about it.
Steve, you hit the key element there. A lot of people overlook this, and it was drummed in my head for a couple of years, and it finally, you know, I finally embraced it. I was told by an NFL suit, and he had to tell me this like four or five different times before it sunk in, that unless a guy is going to start, he better play special teams. You know, this guy said that's why Lewis Murphy was always getting cut. That's why Doug Martin, after the Bucs got rid of him, he had a cup of coffee at Chucky, and that was it. He didn't; those guys didn't play special teams. So if a guy is not going to start, he better play special teams, or he's automatically on the endangered species list. Freeman, I remember doing some research on this. The last time Freeman played any kind of special teams was his rookie year. Now, I don't know if he's like Doug Martin in the sense that he can't play special teams, or that the fact that he was the primary running back after Cutter left Atlanta, like, no, we're not putting you on special teams. We need you too much on offense. So that's the thing, and it's with everybody. It's not Devontae Freeman. It's with anybody who's unemployed now or any guy on the bubble. If they don't start, they better play special teams, because if they don't, they're on thin ice from day one.
He has been the primary back for 4 or 5 years in Atlanta. Hasn't been very productive the last couple, but was the primary back, and those guys usually don't play special teams. But to Lee's point, if Freeman comes to Tampa and he's considered a, you know, a third down specialist or something, then that dynamic changes. And I don't think he's going to be able to throw his weight around on this team and say, I'm above that.
Well, I think that would be part of his contract coming in.
Yeah.
You know, if they tell him you got to play special teams, he's probably going to say no. Why would he want to risk his career on a low end contract playing special teams? With the Bucs, it comes down to where they have the depth on special teams, and there's not much. It's not a great coverage unit team. And when you've got guys like O.J. Howard and Cam Brate and Rob Gronkowski, those guys aren't playing special teams. And none of the Bucs rookies last year, anybody would call a standout special teamer. The guys in the secondary, the Mike Edwards, that they just weren't that great on special teams. So the Bucs are, you know, it's going to be harder, I think, for them to grab Freeman in justifying it, because they're thin on special teams. They can't afford another guy who's not going to play special teams. Some of this might come down to how Keyshawn Vaughn looks. Can he play special teams? And is he going to beat out Ronald Jones as the number one running back? And if he does, then you're not going to want him to play special teams. And Rojo doesn't play special teams. So it's, you know, it's one of those things.
Well, Vaughn's job just got a lot harder, Steve, in terms of usurping Jones's role as the primary back. With no preseason games, a minimum of padded practices, you would think, Lee, you would think that Jones, at least in the beginning of the season, is going to get every shot to be the primary back. You would think.
Yeah, you would think. Exactly.
All right, Ira, we are getting out of here. We got two podcasts next week. Everybody can listen and subscribe. Apple Podcasts, Podbean, all over the place. It's at joebucksfan.com. You can leave a review out at Podbean and Apple Podcasts. Ira loves to hear some love shared and thrown his way. And Sage, any wisdom as we head toward what may be, maybe, the first week of training camp?
Well, I'm wondering if I forgot the lessons of the past, gentlemen, with my 11-win prediction. Maybe I'm getting swept up in Brady mania. I probably should remember what happened in 2017. I believe at the end of that season, I said I'm out of the prediction business. I believe I said it right on this podcast. I'm done. And because I was so far off the pace, I said 10, and they won 5, right? 5. That's a big come down for the Sage. You should have stripped me of that title right then and there, Steve. Never again call me the Sage. But here we are, 2020, and what do? I say that the Bucks are going to win 11 games. Guys, this is a talented team. I know you can say that about 11, 12 teams in this league. The coaching staff is good. It's better than it has been. And now Mr. Brady's here. I'm not going to backtrack, gentlemen. 11 or bust. 11 or bust.